the future of globalism, where it came from, where is it in our society today, and where is this agenda taking us? Interesting op-ed from the Japan Times. The future of globalism stands at a crossroads. There are mounting developments in world affairs that threaten to disrupt the progress of globalism. And it gets into the laundry list of issues that they are having. Destroying national sovereignty from America to Russia. But there's more behind the story.
You know, a big part of the exposure of globalism, Joe, are the emails that are being touted. The emails of from Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton's private server. Paula M. sent an email earlier today. Very, very important email. And she writes this. You know, with Hillary exclusively using her private services, it goes without saying in an investigation that she sent classified material via email, whether she took that label off or not. If she didn't send classified material, then obviously she didn't do her job. Why hasn't this point been made? The reason the point hasn't been made is because the captured corporate Illuminati-controlled mass media wants to make sure the globalists prevail in this election. The corporate media, Joe and Paula and folks, they are involved in obfuscation of the facts, of course, the corporate media, that is. And you know, it's a question of are we paying attention? Who's paying attention? And you know what, folks? We together, Joe and I, before the show, we were talking about how difficult it must be and is, because it's difficult for us to talk to, convince, and otherwise educate, inform people who don't want to hear the truth. And sometimes, well, Maria Canise, author of Prepare for Persecution, sent some just wonderful emails with a lot of information and talking about that strong delusion. Joe, what do you think? I mean, as we see people out there and we talk to people about events, current events, everyone seems to be under this strong delusion. And I do think this strong delusion has gripped many people in America, in the West. And the people that are pushing for the globalist agenda, the people who want to eradicate any form of nationalism and pride in both our nation and our culture and our heritage, they are responsible. Well, they're, as Judy McLeod said from Canada Free Press, and folks, if you missed the beginning of the program, we were talking about Judy McLeod, Canada Free Press. If you go to HagmanReport.com, it's featured right there. Best words to describe our times: go away, Satan. Globalism is Satan's modus operandi, isn't it?
Well, it is back to the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
It is back to the one world system of religion that has man and Satan at the top.
Yes.
Where God should be. And interestingly enough, I learned a lot about the Russia and Crimea today, listening to a speech or an interview that Putin gave, and how he and Russia really are fighting this globalist takeover. And I guess in a way I have, in a perspective that I have not looked at it before, is NATO. But you know, when we're reading the Bible, we're reading about an alliance of nations coming together, and that eventually all of them will go against Israel. NATO is the biggest alliance of nations there is, with the strongest nations on the planet, aside from a few. And what happened in Crimea, if you go back and do the research, was funded by Soros at the grassroots. And what Putin says is that it was a United States effort to remove the sovereignty of Crimea from Crimea and Russia in order to install the North American, install NATO,
right,
Crimea as a NATO member. Now, as he got into this, he was talking about, you know, nationalism versus the UN charter of surrendering sovereignty over to an international body.
Which has been the goal since the League of Nations. Well, it's been the goal since Babylon.
You don't hear these things in the news about, you know, the Russia-Crimea conflict and the Putin versus the West conflict.
Right.
This stuff's left out of the news completely. But today, in that interview, it's about a 30-minute interview. I'm sure people can find it on YouTube. It's, you know, Putin talks about the New World Order.
Right.
He talked a lot about the sovereignty and why he did what he did and how he does not want to see the return of the Soviet Union as many in the West say he does. And he's not trying to, you know, take over the government and people of Crimea. They actually held a vote where they voted to stay with the Russian Federation rather than be annexed. And
but wasn't that vote depicted as being...
It was depicted as being...
As being manipulated.
It was depicted as being manipulated, and I haven't seen proof one way or the other, but when I listened and watched Putin's interview today, and then they contrasted it by showing Obama's and a Charlie Rose interview about Putin, I trusted Putin a lot more than I did Obama.
Well,
and
yeah,
it's not that
sadly.
I care, you know, one way or the other about Putin or Obama. I have no... What do they say? You got no person in the fight.
No dog in this race, right?
But I would urge everybody to take a look and watch it, even the first half of that interview. It will give you a great understanding of exactly what's really going on in the world. You know, we hear these talks at the South China Sea, and the conflicts that could arise there, the stuff about Russia, the Iran, North Korea, those seem to be the four big ones where anytime conflict amongst these nations is brought up, you hear talk of World War III.
That's right.
These are the holdouts to the international order that has encompassed almost all the nations on this planet, at least all the developed nations.
That's a good point.
So when we look and we see these stories about how terrible Iran is and about how, you know, vicious China is and how they're warmongering and, you know, taking bold steps to show the U.S. that they're ready, you know, for battle. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the headlines at least once or twice a week now, even on Drudge Report and other forums and websites. You see, you know, China gearing up for war simulation, or you know, Russia, biggest military drill in history, preparing for World War III.
Yep.
You see these rumors of war stories. And that ties into Matthew 24 about, you know, in the end times.
Is this not a tap, but in addition, is this not a message via Tavistock, that programming mind condition? Okay.
That's part of it, absolutely. And as we talked about the, book, The Reappearance of the Christ, it talks about how in the Bible, the Antichrist is what the in the reappearance of the Christ, he is the Messiah, the Antichrist.
When you say the Christ, that's a title, of course.
Yeah, The Reappearance of the Christ is the title. And they talk about, it talks about in the book how the Antichrist, or the Christ, as they say, will come into a world that is already a one world system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're sure of it in their writings, because they mention it just about on half of the 74-page book that it is. So that begs the question, what is this new world order, one world government system going to look like? Who's going to be in control of it? It's going to be a one world political system, one world economic system, one world religious system, one world military system. And when we see that, as we've been talking about on the show 5 years ago, if you said New World Order was coming and globalism was coming, you were marginalized,
you were
called names, you were, you know, laughed at. And today, without any real, you know, segue, they are just saying basically, Trump is a nationalist. He will get in the way of globalism.
Isn't that interesting? When it, and folks, when it was the last time you heard in the domestic political arena someone described as a nationalist? When's the last time in any election cycle?
I know.
And all of a sudden now these words are such as nationalist, nationalism, are starting to make their way into the public lexicon. Very interesting observation.
Yeah. And, you know, what's happening with Turkey, what's happening with the facelift and reorganization in the Middle East, even Japan is becoming more authoritarian, as reports have come out that in Japan, where is it here? I hate when these update pop-ups come. Japanese government shifts further toward authoritarianism and militarism. And it goes on to say that one of the most discomforting aspects of Neil Howe and William Stratus' seminal work on generational cycles, The Fourth Turning, 1997, the fact is that, as far as American history is concerned, they all climax and end with massive wars. Yes. To be more specific, the first fourth turning in American history culminated with the Revolutionary War, the second with the Civil War, the third ended with the bloodiest war in world history, World War II. The number of years between the end of the Revolutionary War and the start of the Civil War was 78 years. The number of years between the Civil War and the start of World War II was 74 years. Therefore, if Howe and Strass's theories hold water, and I think it does, the article says, we're due for a major conflict somewhere around 75 years from the end of World War II, which brings us to 2020. And the article goes on.
Isn't that interesting? The date, 2020. It all seems to be culminating in the mid to late teens and
you look
up
at
through 2020.
Yeah, and you look at the culture now. You look at the, you know, Albert Pike Musini letter.
Right.
That talked about the three world wars.
Yep.
I mean, everything that was written in that letter, especially about the third world war, that groundwork has already been laid.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
There is little left to do. You know, one Gulf of Tonkin incident. One false flag. The, you know, could be a biological threat. It could be an economic collapse. It's going to take one event, and the whole world could be in a nuclear war within minutes. And it will be the last world war until all the nations come against Israel. But that's where we're going, and this is where we are. We're going to war.
We are indeed. Because, and remember,
and that's history repeating itself.
There you go. And remember, prior to 2000 or the attacks of 9/11, how many things that were being how many things were covered up by 9/11? I want to get into one thing really quickly. Let's take a closer look at this point of something.
You need a monocle,
magnifying glass. How many people know the name? How many people know the name Seth Conrad Rich?
No, never heard of it.
Never heard of him. Well, now this is something, we're going to take a closer look at this, and we are taking a closer look at this, but not like the drive-by, fly-by media does. No. We are taking a closer look at the murder of Seth Conrad Rich. Now, for those of you who don't know who this gentleman was, Seth Conrad Rich was gunned down outside of his Washington, D.C. home a few weeks ago. This has been reported on by several outlets. The circumstances around his murder have been suspicious from the beginning. Rich was killed in the wee hours of the morning, somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning, which is my lunchtime. Now, the time of death, the time of his killing, of course, is suspicious by itself. And new details from One American News are fueling suspicion that he was perhaps murdered. Wait for it. He was perhaps murdered to cover up the long trail of corruption within the Democratic Party. Now, apparently police thought that the murder of Seth Conrad Rich was a robbery gone awry. A robbery gone wrong. But when they didn't find anything missing from his body, the theory was soon abandoned for, well, maybe we should look at some other motive. Coincidentally, and much to the consternation of websites like Snopes, or the Soros-led websites, much to their consternation, we're trying hard to fight this through misinformation and deliberate obfuscation. Rich was investigating numerous cases involving the Democratic National Committee and election fraud, electoral fraud, and was set to testify against Hillary Rodham, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, in the email investigation. Now, you will find on various news sources saying, oh, that's not true. That's not true. That's just, no. Oh, but it is. And this brings back memories of Vince Foster. There are those people out there who say, oh, Vince Foster committed suicide. At most, his body was moved. Now, Vince Foster, in my personal and professional opinion, was murdered. And those who say anything to the contrary, I believe, and it's my professional opinion and opinion only, are disinformation agents working on behalf of the Clintonistas. But back to Seth Conrad Rich in this closer look segment. Rich was also joined by former UN President John Ash, who coincidentally was also set to testify in another, yet another high-profile case involving a major Clinton donor and Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Foundation. And Joe and I have been talking, and Joe's been doing a lot of research. His fingers are down to nubs from the pencil work he's been doing.
Stumps yesterday, nubs today.
Nubs today. Tomorrow it'll be... No, I'm just kidding. For those people who can't see, never mind that. But see, Ash died, allegedly, after a barbell fell on his throat, crushing his windpipe, of course, during a workout just days before he was scheduled to testify. Again, much to the consternation of the website Snopes, the husband and wife team operating on behalf of, well, you know. Anyway, but, just much like Rich Dodd, mysteriously, as he too was scheduled to testify against the Clinton criminal cabal. Well, are you folks seeing any connections yet? Folks, you didn't see that, but Eric came over and was rubbing me. I don't know what's going on here, but
that was funny.
But for those who are or visually challenged, in other words, don't have the video, apparently he put a splash screen up, came over, and I just felt this
he
rubbing.
He rubbed his forearm.
You all right?
That was just so unexpected.
Wow.
Usually he comes over and adjusts a camera or a light. It looks like he was giving him moral support.
Joe's actually got tears in his eyes from laughing.
Yeah, that was funny.
But anyway, folks, look, we're looking here at, in this closer look segment at the death, the mysterious murder, in my view, of Seth Conrad Rich. And as it relates to the Clinton criminal cabal, we need to take a closer look at not just this, but the entirety of the bodies left in the wake of the Clinton criminal cabal. New details forthcoming in this closer look segment. Now that I've been rubbed sufficiently by Eric the Tech. I don't know. Is that out there? Or does that like mark a new a path to our relationship here, Eric? I mean, my goodness. You know,
it's just funny because the way you did it. Usually, like I said, you come over and adjust something.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching, looking to see what he's coming.
Well,
to adjust.
No,
and
I
he
had
walks around.
No, apparently I had
puts his arm around.
I had some sort of gunk or something on my sleeve here that was those really,
you can shine my shoes when you're done.
Oh my goodness. But anyway, again, in that closer look segment, we will be updating, of course, the details about the body count left by Clinton's. And there will be more. I guarantee you there will be more. Very good. Paul McGuire, and I'm just going to segue and pop it back to you. Paul McGuire had done a really great job in a recent article, an article published yesterday, about nothing is as it appears. It's going to be on our website here after the show. But
nothing is as it appears. The truth is stranger than fiction.
You know, really, right now, and I think everyone, it's interesting to me as we've been looking at different, Joe and I and Eric and others, and we've all been looking at various talk show hosts, looking at their format, looking at their content, looking especially their content, and we're talking about from the top talkers to the most obscure, okay, just to see both. Not just the format presentation, but what are they talking about? And then, of course, we've been looking at the captured corporate mass media, Illuminati-controlled mass media, all six corporations and their offshoots. And what we've been finding is the fact that the war is against the Christians, the middle class, but we've seen this very decisive divide. And of course, they are not reporting the actual facts. With respect, and big surprise there, right? Oh boy, I could have told you that. But what they are doing is they are, and you said this so, it was so prescient when you said it, prescient the word of the day. Again, I'm not going to look it up, but for those in Hattiesburg, prescient has a, you can look it up. But what they're doing is managing public opinion or attempting to direct public opinion.
Oh yeah, it's more than managing public opinion anymore. Managing public opinion, that was, you know, 40 to 70 years ago. Now they are creating public opinion. They're creating false truths and narratives to the point where we're so far down this rabbit hole. If the real truth of everything was staring us right in the face, I don't know if we'd even recognize it. Only by the grace of God. It's that bad. When you have a presidential candidate who is guilty of treason, except for the conviction, but even though the director of the FBI basically said as much, when you have a presidential candidate who has done more to bring this agenda of globalism into the reality of our world. When you have a nominee who was a member of one of the highest parts of our government, the head of the State Department, selling influence, selling jobs for donations to her foundation.
Yes.
When you have a nominee who has her husband, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, only to later say, yeah, I lied. For her to cover that up, for her to cover up and intimidate the victims of rape from her husband. The money that has been coming in and out of her foundation, which we've barely scratched the surface on, it's come out that she's taken $100,000 cash from, and was the director of a company that directly gave money to ISIS.
That's true.
That information has come out. I mean, some of the most horrendous crimes while she was a member of the State Department, while she was the First Lady, and on top of that being an admitted witch. And you have Donald Trump, who just wants to make America great again, if you believe the words that he says. And he's the bad guy? He's the one we need to watch out for, the authoritarian, slave driver? And people buy it? At this pace, maybe Hillary should go commit some more felonies. She'll get some more support.
She'll get the Peace Prize.
It's just crazy.
I want to see you get fired up. You look like you're about ready to get fired up.
Yeah, a little bit.
Folks, look, special, a very special, very, very special surprise for you tonight. Next hour, Steve Quayle and Henry Groover. Ah, how's that for a team? Very important information from Henry Groover. We haven't heard
from him. So from 9 to 10.
Yes.
Steve Quayle will be joined by Henry Groover.
Yes. Will be joining us. Yes.
Now, folks, for those of you who don't know Henry Groover, Eric, what's that website again? Joyful Sound Ministries. Thank you. Henry Groover was in Japan.
Singular. Taiwan.
Earthquake, right before the earthquake happened, God told him to left. He left. He walks around this globe based on where God, based on God's will.
All right.
And he is a true man of God, and he's going to come on, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. Because when he talks, it's important.
It's kind of like E.F. Hutton, the old E.F. Hutton commercials. When he talks, people listen. Folks, the Hagman and Hagman Report. Not this next segment, but the next hour, Henry Groover, important information to share. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening, for joining us, for being part of our lives, being part of our radio show.
And when we come back, before Steve and Henry come on, we're going to continue to talk about the future of globalism.
Yes.
Specifically where it is going to take us as we are on this journey together.
Hey, folks, we talked about the latest issue of the English language magazine, Dabiq. The Islamic State calls on Christians to abandon Christianity. Seems like the Vatican is doing the same thing. The Jesuit-run Vatican is doing the same thing, huh? Yeah, arguing that Jesus himself was a slave to Allah, and many people share that view. You know, we've gotten so much information and so much open source information out there. We, of course, feel our hearts go out to anyone fighting for America, lost in battle. But father of Khazir M. Khan, or the father of the young man that was killed in battle, Khazir Khan, believes that the Constitution must be subordinated to Sharia law. There's so much information now about that out there.
My question is,
yes,
you know, how the Trump-Khan feud started?
Yes.
And how Trump is spitting in the face of this soldier's family. Isn't he spitting in the face of his soldier's son? Since his son died for the Constitution in this country?
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure he looks at that in that way, because don't forget, all Muslims believe that the Constitution must be subordinate to Sharia.
Yeah, Breitbart has an article. Constitution must always be subordinate to Sharia, yes, notwithstanding his war hero son's genuinely patriotic example. Khan has published papers supporting the supremacy of Islamic law over man-made Western law, including the very Constitution he championed in his Democratic National Convention speech attacking GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump.
You know, Joe, and this is something I believe that we really need to focus upon, because this is really at the heart of everything that we're seeing taking place today. We have, I believe, a stable, a remnant of Christians who are conservative, both socially as well. Well, they're conservatives, but they're social conservatives, they're Christian conservatives. I don't know how many modifiers we need, but in general, they're conservatives as opposed to progressives, as opposed to communists, because we know, for example, and Joe, chime in here, because in order for the one world order to be brought into existence, a few things must happen. Number one, nations must be eradicated of their monetary system. Their,
mm-hmm.
Because what defines nations but borders, money, and language, right? Michael Savage says that. Culture.
Borders, money, culture, yeah.
There you go.
So, and we see with, I was watching a documentary today about the Rothschilds and the banking systems from its inception, and I've seen lots of different, you know, ways that people present the information, and this was another good one. I only got through about a half hour of it, but it talked about how the Rothschilds took over the English banking system, instituted the Bank of England, followed by the Federal Reserve. And interestingly enough, over the weekend, in the first few days of this week, and I mentioned this to you, I was doing some in-depth research on the Phoenicians.
Phoenicians. Yes.
Well, did you know that they were the first culture to make paper money?
No, I didn't know that.
And the Phoenicians were before and during the time of the Egyptians and the Babylonians. And I got a whole, I got pages.
When you say they made paper money, was it a fiat system or was it?
No, they were the biggest naval power.
Okay.
18th century BC, 3,800 years ago. Okay. They were merchants. They were the creators of the alphabet in which we use today based on 22 letters.
Their
major contribution was that their alphabet, it constituted 22 consonants, and they were, they were the foundation of the English and Hebrew, Arabic, and Syriac script. But when it comes to the money, it talks about how they were the first printers of paper money, and what they used to do was they would print the money on... it would be little leather triangle.
Right.
But I just found that was a very strange fact in the history of this ancient civilization, because of all the things that you would think to find, like they were known as the Sons of the Phoenix. When you think of Phoenicians, you have the phone, phonetics.
Yep.
They were also known for their purple dye. It's into the study I'm doing on Babylon and Tyre and what it says and how Tyre is related to Freemasonry and America that we live in today.
Nothing too deep there.
Oh, yeah, it is deep, trust me. But, yeah, they were the first culture to use paper money. And I just found that. I haven't found proof of that, but I did. I got a confirmation from a written article and then from a YouTube video.
Well, and I think, and we've got a vast library, of course, here at the studio, but you might want to check out the bottom shelf there with the, well, you can see the books. In fact, the republications of the Tom Horn books.
Yeah. Here it is. Paper money found its origins in the Tyrrhenian, Carthaginian. I can't remember writing. Carthage was a city that was created by the Phoenicians.
Right.
And what they did was they used an inscribed a symbol on a triangular pieces of leather, which was used as paper money.
Okay. And then there was the, excuse me, the stick as well. But all of this is interesting. And the reason this is important is because we do have a segment titled, but we won't use it now, Past's Prologue, There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And it's interesting because the further back you look, the further ahead you can see. And we're seeing history not just repeat itself, but the old world order coming, you know, being reformulated into the new world order. It's the same gods, small g.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But, you know, getting back to Khazir M. Khan and the larger issue, in order for the new world order to be implemented here, and some people might say, well, but I'm so tired of hearing about this. We know this. I got an email the other day. Why don't you cover stuff, new stuff? Because I know this stuff. Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of people that don't know this. A lot of people coming into the fold who are saying, wait, you know, tell us how this all relates to everything. Excuse me. So, we also, you know, we have to be cognizant of the fact that not everyone, you know, is as smart as you writing that email. Not everyone is as up to date.
I heard a great saying. I don't know if it applies. knowledge is not intellect, and intellect is not wisdom.
applies to so many.
Yeah.
Boy. But again, what we're seeing here, and even watching this play out with Kazir M. Khan and Donald Trump and the media, and how the communist media, the communist controlled mass media, is really molding this. What we're seeing is the fact that we, the globalists, need to institute they need to outlaw all monotheistic religions. They need to outlaw Islam, Judaism, and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They need to take it down. They need to eradicate the name Jesus out of everything. And soon Bibles with the name Jesus will be made illegal. They need to take certain aspects. And this is exactly what the Vatican is doing. This is exactly military is doing. And you can go ahead and reference that, because this goes back to Alice Bailey. This goes back to
Alice Bailey, the New World Order.
There it is.
And the New World Order for the destruction of Christianity. While the church sleeps, the devil is damaging souls with the Babylonian system. The strategy crafted by the occultist who died 65 years ago. Actually, I don't know when that was, because this is a little bit older of a paper. Anyway, it goes on to talk about a 10-point charter strategy for the removal of Christianity. One, take God and prayer out of the education system. And then we can get into this more
in depth later this
week. Reduce parental authority over the children. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure. Make divorce legal and easy. Make abortion legal and easy. Make homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Debase art, make it run mad. Number 8, use media to promote
make
and change
art ugly
mindset.
And we see that with 9, Andy Warhol and some of the go on.
Create an interfaith movement.
Okay.
10, get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes.
And isn't it funny, because the title of tonight's program, The Future of Globalism, it's not funny, it's not coincidental. It is how we have worked this program tonight, to show you Coach Dave Dobemeyer in front of the tiller of Killing Center. 3 minutes of truth saying, hey, you know why we're here? It's because the lack of fathers, the lack of leadership by Christian men. And he makes a lot of good points. And then we go to Judy McLeod, who says, get the heck out of here, Satan, and says, Satan is, in fact, behind all of this. This is not by accident, this program, The Future of Globalism. It's not by accident. It's by planning.
And
this
even
is
though,
how it's being, this is, we're laying it out for you. Go ahead.
Even though I didn't want to get into any of this, the Phoenicia stuff, this is something I plan on working on for a little while, and to be able to present it, in a very, understandable,
very coherent, cohesive manner.
With visuals. But, you know, they were, noted as sacrificing their children. They were noted for their brutality with their own children and with the human sacrificing and cannibalism.
Mm.
What you said about Dave Dobemeyer, you know, the fathers, where are the fathers? Well, you know, unfortunately, when it comes to abortion, men don't have a right to say, I don't want
men have given
my
up
child
that
in her
right.
belly.
Either by either wittingly
if they even
or,
have
or
it.
On... But see, had we... And this is a mistake. This is my opining now. Had we been men, or had the men been men and acted like men, we would not be in this position. Because we have a duty as men, as Christian men, I believe, and this is my personal opinion, not just to lead, not just to be leaders, but to be leaders. I mean, not just to be simple businessmen and to earn the money, but we have we are required biblically to be leaders of our family. That is to say, to lead our families in prayer, to lead our families in this things, all things spiritual. We have the requirement to protect our families. And woe to those men who are wussified to the extent where they will not protect their families. I have no use for you. I have no use for you.
Did you see what Clint Eastwood said today?
No.
Well, I'm not going to repeat it. It's on the front of Drudge.
I didn't.
Basically, what he said was, to paraphrase,
it had to do
with the snowflake generation. How
I agree then.
Well, he used a Clint Eastwood blast.
A man must know his limitations.
Snowflake generation, and told people to blank, get over it.
There's the issue. This country, America, and American men and Christian men, we don't have a problem with intolerance. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We don't have a problem with intolerance. We have a problem with tolerance. There's too much of it. We tolerate too much evil. We tolerate too much BS. We tolerate the lies. We tolerate right. everything we should not tolerate. And it's time to say, and if
While
you
those
don't
people
say
people are intolerant we're gonna, towards us.
Right. The most intolerant, bigoted, racist people I've ever met in my life have been the so-called democratic, liberal, progressives, the communists. Those are the most intolerant people I've ever met, because they won't tolerate me saying that being a sodomite, being a homosexual, being a lesbian, being a queer is biblically wrong. Oh, you can't say that. I'm not going to tolerate that on my show. Oh, really? So be men. But anyway, getting back to the larger picture, the future of globalism. Yes, Christianity is under attack, and the media is not reporting the extent under which we are under attack. Christians, that is. The Muslim terror, the terrorism that's taking place. Look, in France, again, in France, Muslims screaming, Allahu Akbar, stop a bus. They set it on fire. The media is silent about it. Video from France shows a group of Muslims right. that stop a bus, smash its windows, forces evacuation, set the bus on fire.
Well, how can the president of France have time Holland to comment on it when he's too busy worrying about Trump and the consequences us Americans will face if we vote for him?
Well, it's ridiculous. The fact is, it is ridiculous. But you know what? It's planned. So we have to identify the enemy, identify their tactics, identify their mode of operandi, and then report on it. And then at the same time, because we can chew gum and walk at the same time, we have to pray, we have to be spiritually in tune, but we also have to fight. We also have to draw that line in the sand and be prepared to fight. We have to saddle for battle, and as an inspiration to everyone, if in fact that makes me a domestic terrorist, then I wear that badge proudly. To paraphrase, what was that, Walter Cronkite or whoever, talking about sitting at the right hand of Satan or whatever, that idiot. Anyway, Paul McGuire's got a great article out. Again, it's going to be up on Hagman and Hagman.com, talking about that nothing is as it appears, basically. The fact that that all the psychological props and devices were employed to appease the party's demographic basis with virtual world candidates. This now in reference to the conventions. What a circus atmosphere, the conventions. The corporate media, totally controlled by the six corporations, owned by the global elite, they offer nothing more than a smoke and mirror show of endless babbling by inferior actors posing as journalists who, by the way, with rare exceptions, are in reality nothing more than propagandists who offer almost nothing in the way of facts, accountability, and in-depth insights. Boy, that fits a lot of people, doesn't it? And it's in the land of make-believe, like the Wizard of Oz, where we are not allowed to see the truth about the wizard who hides behind the curtain. And there are plenty of wizards, and there are plenty of curtains. If only you and I together just push that curtain aside, you're going to see who's behind that curtain. But the future of globalism, the title of this program tonight, and you've done a great job, the components thereof, Donald Trump, the nationalists, the everyone on the left, progressive left, the communist left, and even on the right, some on the right, making preparations to oust Trump. Folks, the shenanigans are not over. They're not over.
Yeah, and the media saying, oh, what is with the Trump meltdown?
Right.
The self-sabotage.
Right.
What are they talking about? I mean, they're inventing lies. I mean, wholesale lies. And it's been confirmed that a number of things, two things happened today that I find interesting. One, Trump yesterday talks about the possibility for the manipulation of the voting machines.
Oh,
and voter fraud.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Today, New York Times, U.S. seeks to protect voting system against cyber attacks. How convenient. And then secondly, the polls. We talk about the polls. You know, it's been coming out. I've seen, oh, Fox News giving Trump or giving Hillary a 10-point lead over Trump. Well, it's been confirmed today. Pollsters loading polls with Democrats to give Hillary a lead over Trump. Donald Trump shattered the previous GOP primary record by 1.4 million votes this year. And that was with 17 candidates in the race. Hillary Clinton received 1.5 million fewer votes this year than she did in 08 when she lost. Now, this article, you guys go on the Gateway Pundit if you want to see the pictures. It says, Trump continues to sell out venue after venue, and they show full stadiums. Hillary can't even fill a high school gymnasium this week without hauling in high school kids to sit in the empty seats. Democrats are in a panic mode, so leave it to the media to jump in and help their candidate. Reuters tweaked their polling methods this week to give Hillary a lead. Reuters uses more than 100 more Democrats in their polls to give Hillary a lead over Donald Trump. Does anyone in their right mind think Democrats will have more people voting this year than Republicans? And it's come out. Trump has been taking to Twitter to show it's interesting. When you go to these polls and you look at how they set up the matrix,
yeah,
or the metrics.
The metrics. No, you were right the first time, the matrix.
State,
but anyway.
State by state. If you go to county by county, it's a completely different picture. You got Trump's up 73-19 or something, you know, something completely different.
See, okay, and you make a good point here, and folks, this is a good point. If you watch programs, and you've got to watch the programs in their totality, or you've got to look at the television shows in total. For example, within the last decade, there have been numerous crime shows. Shows like Criminal Minds. What's that one on cable now? It's a... Jackie, my daughter, just came into the studio. What's that show that it's about politics that Cheryl mentioned?
House of Cards.
House of Cards. Okay, thank you.
I've never seen
all
it.
All right. But all of these different shows are over the past decade, have been making references to conspiracies such as the JFK assassination, 9/11, House of Cards, the voter fraud in some cases. Which I've never watched House of Cards, but I don't have any desire to. But the reason I mention all of that is to say this. People believe, are being made to believe, that it takes a lot of people to control, like, for example, the JFK assassination. It had to happen the way it happened, because if it happened elsewise, it would take too many people to really, the conspiracy would be too vast. For example, Benghazi, too. You can't. I mean, it happened the way they said it happened, because otherwise, it would take too many people to control the conspiracy, and someone would talk. Remember, the only way to keep a secret between three people is to have the other two people dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this is not true. You can have, and this is why the word consolidation, this is why consolidation is so important to the globalists. Because you consolidate, for example, you take hundreds of media outlets and they have six choke points.
The big six.
The big six choke points.
In the documentary
points.
I
it's
watched earlier.
Six than 600.
Yeah, in the documentary I watched earlier, it talked about how the Rothschilds, you know, knew. And the people who worked with the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, the Satanic Elite,
right,
knew the importance of the printing press, therefore gathered ownership of every single printing press and continued, you know, and they went on in the documentary to explain, well, who owns the TV networks? Well, Hollywood, and through the government.
Yes.
This is all, you know, it's all a big show, and you're all invited to watch, but you're all invited to be brainwashed at the same time.
That's right.
And you will be. I mean, if anybody who listens to any mainstream news channel for any amount of time and only takes their advice and takes it as fact, when you go back and look at the actual facts, you will realize that you were lied to every day of your life that you paid attention to those news outlets.
Well,
either outright lied to or being lied to with a small truth and a big lie.
Paul McGuire talks about Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World. He warned us about the power of totalitarian dictatorships using scientific mind control to dumb down the masses and to make us, make the population more compliant. Of course, he wrote about the use of non-stop distractions to keep people from paying attention to what is really going on in the social and political venues. It's kind of like, Paul McGuire writes, it's kind of like car chases, riots, and celebrity craziness and other media techniques to keep us watching the television screens. And Huxley writes that in their propaganda, today's dictators rely for the most part on repetition, suppression, and rationalization. Now, this is Aldous Huxley from, a half a century ago or thereabouts. The repetition of catchwords, which they wish to be accepted as true, the suppression of facts, which they wish to be ignored, the arousal and rationalization of passions, which may be used in the interests of the party or the state, and this is exactly what we're seeing right now. And although I don't believe I've got time to go into the mailbag segment, I just want to acknowledge Karen from Rome, where when she writes that she has been watching Fox News. Now, Karen in Rome, God bless you. She's been doing a lot of research, and she's seeing, watching the programming. But it's so much more than that, Karen. Thank you. And perhaps tomorrow we'll get into this. But what we're seeing here is the creation, in my view, of this totalitarian state. And mm-hmm. Joe, the ABC saying, what if Trump drops out? What do we do then? What do we do?
Yeah, he's not going to drop out. And for them to be, the media to be in such damage control mode, saying yes, how in disarray Trump campaign is, that he's going to drop out, tells me that he's closer to the target than they're ever were comfortable with or ever wanted him to be.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what would they be doing spending their time and resources on trying to demoralize him, demean him, and lie about him even more?
Amen.
If he was already, you know, shooting himself in the foot, they wouldn't even have to put the effort out. But Obama
is
going to take the whole month of October off to do what? To campaign for Hillary on your tax dollars.
Obama's third term. That's right. And folks, don't forget, go to CanadaFreePress.com. Judy McLeod's article, Best Words to Describe Our Times, Go Away Satan. Comment on it. Let's elevate that, because that captures the essence of what we're seeing today. You are tuned in to the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network, simulcast on BTR, and you can watch us right here on YouTube as well.
Steve Quayle, along with Mr. Henry Groover, will be up next for hour number 3.
What a pleasant surprise.
Just after this. Stay with us.